Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through. We continue with another chat by the fireside, a relevant study of the Book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Denation, resident minister at Juvenile Mission, as he responds to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Denation in part 34 of Understanding the Times.
As soon as you detach yourself from the source of truth, which can be the Word of God, the Spirit of God working in your heart, the community, the faith community that you are in, as soon as you begin to isolate yourself or detach yourself from that, the rot sets in. We must look at it as if it's like a conveyor belt as we go into the future. The moment you stand still, you sort of get left behind. You're not going to be free from contamination and something rubbing off on you. If you look at the mentality of many believers today, you can see when they hear the truth, they're shocked. It's almost like it goes through them like shockwaves. And the first response is, no, this can't be right.
Yes.
This can't be real. You know, this is radical. And they don't understand, but that's biblical.
Yes.
So indeed, we will find, firstly, comfort in that the Lord is there for us. The door is standing open. God is still on the throne. Those who are before the throne, the martyrs, the ones who have paid with their lives, they will cry, how long must this be like this? And they are told, just hang on a little bit longer. It's almost time. Everything will soon be completed and God will wipe away every tear from every eye.
Now, that leads me to another thing that I've been thinking about while we've been talking is Jesus's return, because this is another thing that's very divisive in Christian communities. And we're talking about now Revelation being a source of encouragement. And for those that don't even understand the book fully, for me, I cling on to the fact that when you read Revelation, you understand that victory is assured. No matter what happens, like you said, God is on the throne. But with that comes the whole Jesus returning part.
Yes.
And I hear this most Sundays, Jesus is coming back soon. Don't worry, we are living in the last days, and we've been discussing this. Last days has been 2,000 years already.
Yes.
Even with Peter and how poetically it can be with one day as 10,000 years, 10,000 years as one day. When exactly is Jesus coming back, Pastor Greg? Do you know for sure? Does Revelation give us any inkling to say a year date or whether we should even be focusing on, for me, which I think is another delusion, that Jesus is coming back in 500 years or 100 years or 1,000 years? I look at it as when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is when I think Jesus is going to come back. How long that's going to take, I think that's up to us as Christians. But Jesus' return in Revelation, should we be saying to people, Jesus is coming back soon? Is that something that is not worth saying because we don't know?
Yes, we don't know, but Paul told the congregation, the Lord is coming soon. Now we are even 2,000 years closer than that. So yes, it's legitimate to say the Lord is coming soon. I think the problem comes when we start setting dates.
Yes.
We don't want to join the long line of false prophets that have done that over the years and they've all been proved wrong, even recently. So we don't know the day or the hour, but there is a unfolding of wickedness and evil that reaches a point of no return. If you had asked Noah in his day, when will the end of the earth come? He would look around and he would see the wickedness, and he would know, having fellowship with the heart of God, that the Lord grieved that he made man. His heart was filled with pain, we read. You know, it was actually quite startling to me to ponder that, to process it, and to think to myself, you know, this is incredible that it actually says like that in Genesis chapter 6. The Lord said, my spirit will not contend or strive or wrestle with man forever, for he is mortal. In other words, because of sin, now he's dying. And then we read verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. So it looks like wickedness will escalate until it goes beyond a certain line, a measure. He saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. Been there. We've seen this. We're asking ourselves, what's busy happening when we look at this thing coming out of the closet the way it is? And then we read this, and this is what I pondered day by day. It was gripped my heart. Verse 6 says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. And I thought to myself, can God experience pain? The living God? I mean, you almost thought of him as being beyond something like that, a feelingless entity. But God grieves. His heart was filled with pain. And then the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. Noah, they didn't know the day or the hour. He was just given instructions to do this. He completed it. He seemed foolish and ridiculous. He did what was necessary to save the righteous. And then the day came. God said, right now, enter in, close that door. And even then, how was it going to happen? And God did it over that period of time. So you will have something similar to that. We will see the escalation. We will see people losing all sense of propriety, of reason, of what is good. There will be this outbreak of rebellion to a large scale until it reaches a point of no return. And then it has a momentum of its own, and you would see the things. We don't know the day or the hour. But there's never been a time like we've had now on such a global scale. We've not had the knowledge. We've not had computers. We've not had gone to outer space. There's so much that is so unique about the time in which we are living. It makes you tremble because you know it's imminent. When? Maybe in our lifetime. Maybe not. We don't know. We don't want to go down that road. But indeed, the Lord is coming. And it's almost as if you are hearing in the distance, there's a sound of a trumpet. You can't make out what it is, but it's getting louder day by day.
So that means that as Christians, our focus maybe for a lot of us, I think, is wrong. Because I've always, as a young Christian, I was always, we are here to make the world a better place. We're actually not here to make the world a better place. We're here to save souls. The world is going to become the worst place ever before it gets better. And we can't change that because that's what Revelation says. We need to shift our focus back to those individuals that need saving.
Yeah, and when they get saved, they make the world a better place.
Yes, exactly. Through the saving of souls.
Yes.
Not trying to change the world, but changing the heart.
You have to change the heart. You change the man. It spreads out like an epidemic, pandemic, and everybody is influenced, and you create a new society.
Pastor Greg, before we run out of time, there's this one question that keeps popping up from people as well. And for me, it's not really that important, but I think for a lot of people, this becomes a critical issue, similar to the discussion of the rapture, which I think we can leave for another day. But where exactly will Jesus return when he comes again? Is he going to come to a physical point in the world, or is he literally going to be floating down in the clouds? Is there any inkling in Revelation where it says this is the point where we will meet Jesus first?
Well, there are Old Testament references to his foot touching the Mount of Olives, and there have been lots of speculation about the natural fault that is there, which they found, and that they believe that that's where it's going to split in two. But you're not going to get that from the book of Revelation. Mm. When you read the book of Revelation, then you will know at the end of the Christian era, the Lord Jesus will return, and that's that. There's nothing more, nothing to happen after that, no other development. It's fascinating to see how people will bend scriptures to fit in with their concept of what needs to happen. It reminds me in the days when, as a pilot, you got lost and you didn't know exactly know where you were. Now, you've got the map in front of you and you're looking out the window and you're looking at the rivers and the contours there. And what you begin to do now, you begin to bend these contours and these rivers until they seem to fit with a map that you've got in front of you. And you just get more lost.
Yes.
Because a pilot never admits that he's lost. He's just temporary unsure of his location. But
yes.
He'll sort of get there by bending these lines until these lines fit in with what he sees there. And it's a mental exercise. And you almost get this impression that people will take the material in the book of Revelation and then try to fit it into their already conceived idea and pattern of how things need to unfold. So they've been taught a certain philosophy of the eschatology, the end times. And it's over a 7-year period, and then half of that period, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And then they try to fit in this Antichrist that will make a covenant with Israel, and half of the time he will renege on that. And what they've done is they've taken certain periods that are spelt out, and they've taken it from the scripture out of its context and put it in here and put it in there, and they puzzle together something which doesn't exist, but just in their heads. And it reminds me of in the moors, or shall we say the wetlands, you have these little birds that make nests. And a fox comes along. And the mother spies this fox. And what she does is she flies off in a different direction. And then she actually pretends that her wing is broken. And she looks like she's foundering. Now, that's a cue instinctively for the fox to follow. Mm. And he's following this bird, but she's play acting. Because she knows as soon as he gets close, nothing wrong with her wing. She flies off again and then she goes through the whole motion and he's distracted. He doesn't get to the nest. And most of these theories and ideas are decoys.
Yes.
It's the enemy leading us astray so that we will actually miss the real point.
Now, with the end times happening for the last 2,000 years already, with Jesus returning someday soon, we're not going to focus on dates. The other thing, and we might just have enough time for it, is how caught up should we be with this whole rapture thing? Excuse the pun, caught up with the whole rapture thing. But yeah.
Well, firstly, that doesn't appear in the Bible. There's no word rapture.
Yes, this is what I'm alluding to.
Yeah. You know, you have other parts in the New Testament, like in Thessalonians and in Corinthians, where it speaks of us meeting the Lord in the air. Now, that's a statement, and that's exactly what's going to happen. But now, that's not the problem. The problem is all the conjecture, all the stuff that is built up around that. We are artificially creating a whole scenario by taking from Daniel, taking from Zechariah, taking from Revelation, and then putting it all into the one big cauldron and stirring up a witch's brew really around that. And it's not legitimate to do that. It defies all the laws of exegesis and proper biblical interpretation. When you come to the book of Revelation, you don't read the word rapture. Neither do you get that kind of scenario which people have constructed. It's actually not biblical at all. If you take the book of Revelation, you know that when all of this happens over a period of six trumpets, six angels, six bowls, six seals, six lampstands, the seventh one, which is the Sabbath rest, where you actually enter into Sabbath rest, that's when the Lord comes and brings everything to completion.
And that was Dr. Gregory Nation in part 34 of Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through again, go to the Iona FM and search for Thinking It Through, or download the free GNCR 93.6 FM app from the App Store and go to podcasts. Don't miss part 35 tomorrow.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.